Good morning, church. Welcome today. Today is the last of our Psalms for Troubled Times. And so I am finishing this series, which I think has been a great series, looking throughout Psalms and encouraging us in our day-to-day. We start next week, we're going to be starting a series called Words from the Cross, and it's a build-up until Easter. So make sure you get involved, make sure you come and join us next Sunday, because it's going to be a great lead-up to the Easter period so that we can remember all that Jesus has done for us. Today we're looking at Psalm 130, as he said, and the title is Waiting on God. Waiting on God. And I'm going to read right now from Psalm 130. I wasn't going to, but I just think it's such a beautiful psalm. So let's read it together as we look at this psalm. Psalm 130, a song of ascent. Out of the depths I cried to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning, more than the watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love. And with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory today. Lord, we thank you, Father, that your word is so beautiful and so true. Father, speak to us today as we wait on you. Use me as your vessel, we pray, in your name. Amen. So I wonder if you're good at waiting. I am not the most patient in life, and my wife would probably tell you that. It's not my best trait, and it's something that I need to work on. But we all have to wait for something. And so as a result, as I was thinking about this sermon, I decided to Google what things do we wait for the most? How much time do we spend in waiting? Well, the Direct Line Group, they have an article which says that Brits spend an astonishing 6.7 years of their lives waiting around. 6.7 years waiting around. That's equivalent to around about 11% of the average adult life expectancy. Some people that we wait on the most, funnily enough, are our children. Who they keep us going and they keep us waiting for them. We spend 3 months waiting for them to fall asleep. We spend 2.4 months watching them take part in social activities with friends and family, maybe not so much this year, but in previous years. And we spend 2.2 months watching them to simply drag themselves out of bed in the morning. And I know that Matthew's pointing at his daughter. So we know that there is a lot of waiting around. And as you can see, it should be on your screen, that these are the top 10 things that we wait for in our lives. Food to cook, we wait over 16.9 months in our lifespan. We wait for our children. We wait for our partners over 6.5 months. They say that it's an average of 21 minutes for your significant other to get ready to go for a night out or to go out. I can definitely say that I am probably in that average, if not higher. We're waiting for technology. We're waiting on hold. One of the things I've been doing a lot, trying to sort out my electricity company. We have been put on hold for 4.5 months of our lives. Thanks to hold. There's obviously traffic lights and other such things. You can see the thing, the whole list there. Even to use the bathroom, we queue to use the shower, whatever it is, a total of 3 months of our lives is spent waiting. You know, can you imagine that just to wait for the shower or a tap to run hot or cold, you are actually waiting for a whole 2.3 months. Of your lives. That's number 11 on the list. So we all do a whole lot of waiting. We wait a lot in our lives. But I wonder if you are someone who waits patiently, or if you wait productively, or whether you just get frustrated. Even this morning as I was driving to church, I must say there was someone who was driving very slowly, and I had to practice waiting patiently for them to speed up. I maybe overtook them at one point, but that's beside the point. We have to learn to wait. And you know, some of the things we do, the article carries on to show us some of the things that we do whilst we're waiting. If we go to the next slide, the top things we do when we're waiting is daydreaming, scrolling through social media, reading the news, replying to messages, complain or cursing about waiting. Someone laughed. Read work emails, shopping online. What number 11 and 12? Power napping and skincare routine. I'm not sure many men do the skincare routine, but you never know. They might do. But you may well identify with this. Each and every one of us spend a lot of time waiting in our lives. Trust me, I am used to waiting, and I prayed when I was younger that God would teach me patience. And so he took me to Burundi, where patience is something you need on a daily basis. And you know, we all are people that need to learn to wait. It is somehow sad that in that list of waiting, there is not an element of prayer in those top 12 things that we do when we wait. When we wait, surely the top thing we should do is to pray and to meditate on God. But unfortunately, that's not always our go-to. So what can we learn about Psalm 130, about waiting on God this morning? Well, to give a bit of context about this psalm, Psalm 130 is in the series, and it's towards the end of the series of the Songs of Ascent. And it's actually the number 6th of the 7 penitential psalms, expressing penance, repentance, and awareness of sin. And it shows us how we should cry out for mercy to God. It is suggested that the Jewish pilgrims would use this psalm to confess their sins and to seek God for forgiveness as they were going to the Holy of Holies, as they were going to the sanctuary. So what does that mean to me? How can we learn to wait on God? Joyce Meyer says, "Patience is not simply the ability to wait. It's how we behave while we're waiting. Patience is not simply the ability to wait. It's how we behave while we're waiting." You know, so often we think that waiting on God is just to be still and silent and to just let ourselves stop. And that is very important. There are moments in our lives, and there is actually daily moments in our lives, where we do need to learn to stop and wait on God. We need to stop and meditate in silence. We need to stop and reflect on Him. But this psalmist is actually, the psalmist shows us a different way of waiting. He shows us that waiting is not a passive thing. It's not actually about staying still or sitting still. It's proactive, it's active, and it's a state of movement. And so the first thing that we see is when we wait, we must with a cry, we call on Him. That is the first thing that we do as we wait. It says in the psalm, "Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy." The psalmist here is aware and has an understanding of his position before Christ and where he is in this time. When he's waiting for God, he says, "Out of the depths, out of the deepest, darkest moments of my life, the time when I am not in control, when I feel like I can't get out of this, it's in even in those moments when we're in our lowest, in those moments where we don't want to do anything and we just find it so hard to pick ourselves up. It's in those moments that we wait for God." It's in those moments that we have to get from within ourselves and cry out to God and say, God, help me. Hear my voice. As we wait for God to change our circumstances, we must learn to cry out to him. No matter how we feel, no matter our depression, our fear, our pain, our frustration, the word cry here, actually, it talks about a tense, the tense of the word talks about the fact that the psalmist had been crying and he continued to cry and he was continuing to cry. He was always going to cry out to the Lord. In our waiting, in our moments when we need to, we can cry out to the Lord and he will be faithful to hear us. You know, my parents have been watching some old videos of us as children when we were in Africa, and showing them to my brother and sister-in-law, and getting showing them to Hadzi, our nephew. And you know, there's some interesting videos, and they came across a video, and my nickname as a child was TB. And that's not tuberculosis, don't worry, I don't have tuberculosis. It stands for tiny bladder. And, you know, one of these videos that they found is me kind of squirming and dancing and kind of just calling out to my parents, I need to go. And I was just dancing, and often I'd be holding and kind of squirming. And as soon as I needed to go, I needed to go. There was nothing else that could stop me. And inevitably, my parents would say, either suck it up or, you know, get on with it, whatever. But it was that urgency that I needed. And I just cried out to my parents, I need to go. And sometimes when we're in those dark moments, we need to cry out to God, God, I need you. God, I need you. I cry out to you. The psalmist says 8 times in the psalm the word Lord. The five times he says the Lord is the name Jehovah, which talks about the God of the covenant. The covenant keeping, the covenant making, and the promise keeper God. 3 other times he talks about Lord Adonai, the master, the ruler, the maker of heaven and earth. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. When we call on him, it says, let your ears be attentive. God is attentive. He hears us, and he is faithful to hear our cry of mercy. He is faithful. He is always attentive. And that word attentive shows that God is always listening. He's there with an ear turned towards us. He's always ready. Just as, you know, I thought about when we first had Olivia, we were always listening to see if she was about to cry or if she was sleeping okay. There was always an ear out ready to run to her help. And that's what God is saying to us here. My ear, he's attentive. I can hear your cry. In our waiting, God hears us, and he is faithful to help us. Corrie ten Boom, who wrote The Hiding Place and was put in a concentration camp in World War II, she said these words, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Whatever you're going through today, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. So as we wait, we don't just wait in silence, but we wait with a cry and a call on him. We call on the Lord God Almighty. Secondly, we wait with reverence. With reverence, we serve him. It says in verse 2, if you, Lord, keep a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we, with reverence, serve you. The psalmist first had an understanding that he had to cry and call on the Lord. And now we see that he has an understanding that he knows of his sinful place and his sinful standing before God. He said, if you, Lord, keep a record of sins, who could stand? He knew his need of forgiveness. He knew his need of God. Why? Because Romans 3:32 says, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us, we need to understand our need for salvation. We need to understand our need for God's forgiveness. We need to understand our need because we can be free from guilt. We can be free from our sinful ways because of all that Jesus did as he died on the cross and he rose again. As it says in Romans 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we must first know our place. We must first know our sinful ways. We must know that God is a God who forgives. We might not find forgiveness from our brothers or from our friends. We might not find forgiveness from our family members, from our spouses, from other people, but we can always be rest assured that we can find forgiveness in the Lord God Almighty. He is faithful. It says in Isaiah 38, verse 17, he put all our sin behind his back. Isaiah 43, he blots out our transgressions and remembers our sin no more. Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Micah 7, verse 19, he will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. God is faithful to forgive. We just need to remember how much we need his forgiveness. The more we learn to walk with God is the more we learn and we become aware of our sinful nature. And the more that we call on him, the more we receive his forgiveness. And the more that we receive our forgiveness, if you look at that last line, it says, so that. The forgiveness that we receive in the waiting on him is so that with reverence and with awe and with adoration, we serve him wholeheartedly. It is so that we serve him. Out of our understanding of our sin, out of our understanding of our need for him, out of a place of receiving his forgiveness, and out of gratitude for all that we've received, we serve him. His pardon should lead to purity, and his forgiveness to an appropriate fear of displeasing the one who has been so gracious. When we receive God's forgiveness, we must faithfully serve him and give him all that we have. Now, you might be saying, what about Mary and Martha? You know, they got it wrong. They got busy with the service. But I believe that sometimes God uses us when we serve. He speaks to us when we serve him, when we're actively waiting on him. You know, I got back from Hillsong in end of 2011, and I spent a whole year waiting, asking God, what's next? Where do I go? What do I do? What's your will for my life? And it was towards the end of 2020, and I had been working, I'd been fasting, praying, I'd worked in a job to keep myself kind of going, I'd been serving in the church, but I wasn't getting anything. I was applying for teaching posts, I was applying for NGO posts, anything that I could think that I believed was the next step, because I just wasn't hearing God when I was waiting for him. But you know, when I just felt like it was right, my sister asked me to go and spend time with her, getting some experience in the NGO world. And it was then when I went to Rwanda that God spoke to me. Why do I think he spoke to me? Because I was serving him. I was serving the school. I was serving the church. I was serving. And in those moments, God spoke to me and led me to Burundi. Sometimes we can think that just doing nothing and waiting is the answer. But actually, when we're inactive, it's very hard for God to move us. In serving, we are listening to God. In serving, our attention is upon him. And in our serving, he is faithful to speak to us. There's a quote that says, if you're waiting on God, do what waiters do, serve. If you're waiting on God, do what servers do. Sorry, do what waiters do, serve. So as we wait on God, we do it with a cry. With a cry, we call on him. Secondly, with reverence, we serve him. And thirdly, with faith, we watch for him. It says in verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. Hallelujah. And in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. I love that phrase, my whole being waits. It talks about an expectancy. If you look at other versions, it says my soul waits, or I am counting on the Lord. It talks, the psalmist is saying everything that is within me waits on the Lord. So often when we wait on God, our minds are distracted in other places. Our minds are so preoccupied with what's going on in the world that all the voices of the world, all the voices of everything else distract us. But he's saying, my whole being, everything within me, everything about me cries out to the Lord and waits for him. It talks about a huge faith. It talks about anticipating and knowing that God is faithful to answer. I love that he emphasizes more than a watchman wait for the morning. He repeats that lines twice because he wants to emphasize the fact that that is the perfect example of how we should wait for the Lord. You know, I think I've shared in the past about the terrible night guards that we had in Burundi, but this psalmist is talking not about those guys that used to sleep, but he's talking about a night guard, a night watchman that would watch diligently from morning, from night until day rise, all night scanning the horizon, seeing, waiting, watching to see in the darkness and detect if there was any danger, waiting, knowing that the sun was going to rise, but not necessarily sure exactly when. He had a knowledge and an understanding that it would certainly rise. But he was watching in anticipation for it coming up. You know, they had faith to know that the sun rose yesterday and the sun will rise today and the sun will rise tomorrow. And that's the difference between waiting still in stillness and waiting with a sense of watching. There is a difference between waiting and watching. The dictionary version of waiting says the action of staying where one is or delaying action. Where watching says follow closely or maintain an interest in. Following closely. It talks about with all that we are following, making sure that we don't keep our eyes off what we're focused on. It reminds me a lot of Luke 15, verse 30, the parable of the lost son, where the son had gone off and he'd squandered his father's wealth because he wanted to go on his selfish ways. And we see that he finally comes to realize his need for God. He finally realizes, he comes to that point where he has to cry out to God, but he realizes that he needs to run back to his father. And as he's on his journey, walking towards his dad, his father, it says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And he was filled with compassion. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. So often in our waiting, we need to be like that. We need to be like the father, having an expectancy to see that coming. That moment, the father was ready for his son to return. He was watching the horizon. He was watching and waiting for his son to come back. And that's how we must watch for the Lord. We must watch faithfully. Jesus said himself in Matthew 25:13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Are we watching with anticipation? Are we watching in faith? Are we watching and waiting for God? Not just inactive, but are we watching with a faith to expect him to move? So how do we wait for God? Well, we cry. With a cry, we call on him. With reverence, we serve him. With faith, we watch for him. And lastly, with hope, we receive him. With hope, we receive him. We go from a state of crying out to a point of serving him with reverence, to a point of have faith to watch for him. And then lastly, having hope, we receive him. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. With you, the Lord is unfailing love. And with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. The psalmist, he understood that God is, his love is unfailing. He is the Lord who is full of unfailing love. He is the Lord who will redeem. He is the Lord who will save. And he put his hope in him alone. We see that the psalmist also says earlier that he puts his hope in the word of the Lord. He puts his hope, the psalmist puts his hope in the Lord and in his word. Why? Because his promises are true and he is faithful to fulfill all that he has said. When a push comes to shove, when all we have is God, when all we have to stand on in his word, we can have a hope to know that he will always fulfill what he said he would do. Why? Because his word never fails and his promises are sure, and it is a firm foundation. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up. But when we wait on God, we can have a hope and we can say, just as David said in Psalm 5 verse 3, he said, "In the morning, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and I wait in expectation." I wait in hope. I wait in faith. I wait in the knowledge that you will come. I wait just as the watchman waits for the sunrise, as certain it will rise, as certain will the Lord God Almighty come. Avery D. Miller says, "Hope is patiently waiting expectantly for the intangible to become reality." There is an expectation that God will do it. What will he do? He will show us his unfailing love. He, in him is full redemption. And he will redeem us from all our sins. As we wait on God, as we're still before him, we must cry. We must do it with a cry to call on him. We must do it with reverence to serve him. We must do it with faith to watch for him. And then we know that in hope we can receive him. Amazing love. How can it be that he would die for me? The moment we understand our need for him. The moment we understand how fallen we are. It's the moment that we can say, God, I wait for you. I cry out to you. I need you more than ever before. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more, Lord. And I don't know where you're at this morning, but I am believing and I'm in my heart, I feel that there are people who are listening to this message and you need to have a fresh revelation of your standing before God. We need to come before him with our knees bowed, our eyes looking to him, saying, God, I need you. I cry out to you. And as I wait for you, I serve and I watch and I hope in the King of Kings. Romans 8 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of all those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. If God is for us, who can be against us? This morning as we wait, this morning as we pause, we look to God alone. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we, your people, can wait on you. But Lord, in the waiting, may we not be stagnant, may we not be closed, may we not harden our hearts, but may we be open to you. May we cry from the depth within us our need for more of you. May we humble ourselves before you and serve you in all that we have. And may you come. Father, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, we wait for you.